Your Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns in your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. You can have your Sabre calling from the daily number 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional interests, the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarnup Strong, your mob, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And a big happy to your mob. Happy 2023. Welcome to 2023. The second year of the program for this year. And look, good to be in the hot seat again. Yarn up strong, your mob. 1-800-422-416. All right, now, boost for economic empowerment of First Nations women. New grant to support female-led social enterprises to deliver economic empowerment for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island women, girls and sister girls. We're talking $2.7 million in grant funding available in 2023. Applications open 16 January to 30 August 2023, unless funds are exhausted earlier. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Stella DeCoste, IBA Director of Community and Customer Experience. And a very good morning, Stella. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Good, thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Stella.
Will do.
You there? Yep.
Yes. Oh, sorry, we are now.
Yeah, we are. Yes, my dear. I'm just checking. Can you let the mob know who your mob were you from, Stella?
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. I'm Stella. I'm a Southern Arundel woman. My mob are in Central Desert, around Alice Springs, down to Oodnadatta in South Australia. I'm here on beautiful Ngunnawal country, though, in Canberra, where I live and I raise my beautiful family.
Beautiful.
And I keen to pay my respects to traditional owners across our beautiful country and to our elders and to our ancestors that have led the way for us and our emerging leaders.
Second that. So true. Thank you very much. Beautiful intro there. Thank you very much. So we're talking about a boost for economic empowerment of First Nations women. Look, this is fantastic. Money's a tool. $2.7 million in grant funding. Not everybody is a grant writer. Is there support to help our First Nation women in this space?
Yeah, there absolutely is. We've really tried to create and make the process simple for our women and our women in business. So it is an online application, but our team are available to work with the women in putting their information together. And we're very creative in the way that we'll accept the information from our women as well. We know that we'll have women in remote locations that will apply, and we're happy to accept video applications and proposals. So we'll be really innovative in the way we connect with our women, but we will help our women through the process.
Fantastic. To what capacity, when we're talking grants here, can you use the grant for like business opportunity or investment opportunities?
Yes, it definitely can for business opportunity, and so it can be to create more products and services in your businesses that create impact in community and for our women and girls. It can be used to train and upskill staff in specific technical skills and requirements that also create more impact in community and support the employment of our mob as well. And it can also be used to create innovation in a business. So we're really excited that if we've got women in business and they're looking at technology, ways to deliver services or to support community, the grant can be used for technology purposes as well.
Yes.
So from an investment perspective, it really does depend on what the opportunity is.
Okay.
It cannot be used for investing in a business, but we encourage any woman that wants to have a conversation about that to reach out to us and we'll have a yarn. Yeah.
And when we're talking about the application, how much can you apply for? And is it individual capacity or a group of women as such?
Can be both. So we expect the grants to average between 50 and 200,000. They can be used for programs or initiatives that are as small as, you know, 4 weeks and 12 weeks right up to, 10, 11-month initiatives. Can be used and accessed by our women in business that are sole traders or established as companies, and it can be used by our women that are in joint ventures and partnerships. We do have requirements that they are majority owned and led, female First Nation businesses or advisory groups as well.
Yes.
But there's a range of organisation and businesses that can apply for the grant.
Fantastic. And it all opens up on the 16th of January and goes right through to 30th of August, unless funds are exhausted by that time.
Yes, that's correct. So, applications opened yesterday, so anyone that would like to hop online They can have a look at the application. Our guidelines are online as well, so good. It's good to have a read through to have a look at our themes and categories. We have an information sheet, and of course, women can reach out to us directly. We'll always set up a meeting and walk them through the process and answer any questions as well.
Lovely, lovely. Stella, so they just go to the IBA webpage?
Yes, and there's a link through that connects them to the grant application and the landing page. They can also, if on social media, go to the Strong Women, Strong Business women's group, or on Instagram, they can go through Strong Women, Strong Business, and our links are there as well. And they can also, if it's easier through social media, just send us a message in our inbox and we'll respond really quickly and set up a time for a yarn.
Beautiful. Thank you. So there it is. The platforms are available for all our Deadly Sisters out there. Thank you very much for the yarn there, Stella. And listen, please do keep in touch. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, sis.
We will. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Two Deadly Beautiful Yarn there, and that's Stella DeCoste, and Southern Aritzia woman, and she's the IBA Director of Community and Customer Experience. So there's $2.7 million on the table, a grant funding available for all our Deadly Sisters out there, and if you're looking at empowering yourself or your women in your area, look, there's maybe an opportunity there. Look, make the call, check out the webpage of IBA, and check out the link in regard to a boost for economic empowerment of First Nation women. Too Deadly, beginnings half done, your mob. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up strong here on your Deadly program. All ears here.
I'd been away a lot of years and came home to our traditional land. And I seen my mum walking with her sister and her cousin's sister. And they were walking where their grandmothers had walked. And where their grandmothers had walked. I mean, how lucky am I to see that?
See the winter in her eyes. They say she tells no lie. Old woman in your autumn years. Do they listen? Do they hear? When you walk this land, helping us to understand. When you walk this land, help me to be a man, sweet mother. Standing there alone without these children by your side. Wipe the tears from your eyes. When you walk this land, you bring us to understand. When you walk this land, sweet mother. Sweet mother. Sweet mother, sweet mother. us to understand. Sweet mother.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk track, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
The exercise of fools, I fell between two stools. The only thing I broke was my own heart. One side, everything I wanted. Other all I had. In between this lonely scene, me watching it all go by, while contemplating the tide moving out to sea. Every minute there's less water coming back to me. Come on back to me. I wait my turn. Ship out of this town called Live and Learn. Yeah, I wait my turn. Divine right of kings to make a mess of things. Queens to forgive, they know not what they do. Yeah, right, wrong mess. The great state of half undress, where there's always something cooking. Don't lose your head for only looking. Sure, it was a man who made the rearview mirror. If that's so, what do you know? The tide's coming back to me. Come on back to me. I wait my turn. Ship out of this hole called Live and Learn. Yeah, I wait.
Yeah, that's Live and Learn. Brendan Gallagher here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji country. That's BBM, Bumba Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Speaking of Trevor, we do have Trevor Peckham on the line. And a very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good morning, family.
Family, yes, yeah. Good morning, brother. You called yesterday, so continuing that deadly yarn, brother. So we're talking about voice to Parliament. Where do you sit with it, brother?
Yes, and where I sit with it, I have to sit with my elders of community. As we were touching base on, for those who never heard yesterday.
Yes.
I'm a very community-based man, and a lot of my time is spent in community chess work with our community. And you yourself, my big bro, you've seen me on many occasions.
Yes. Very active in that normal space, my brother. You are?
Yes, that's normal. And when you see me there, you smile. Because it feels like safe and it's called home.
Yes.
And that's because we are safe and we are at home. So my sort of question on my question, if you're asking me, my big brother.
Yes.
I'm on the phone on the radio. Sorry, but yes, go on, darling.
After you're done, you ready to take out toilet?
Yes,
I'll
take out. I can't get food. No worries. I'll take you out on the country for you, my darling.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, so that's normal for a normal man of Buluru country and Uluru country. We will make our home here, Australia. The land above that is called and acknowledged and given the grace of grace representing the five of from the law. Five is the number of grace and represents for us respect, trust, love, be honest and keep your honor. And those 5 points represent grace. We also say Mara for number five and also for your hand. And the biggest thing about when your hand is open, big brother Trevor, is that you see your 5 fingers out displayed openly. That's why it's called Mara, because your hand is open. And it's also called five because you need that 5 fingers extended to make the number five in your hand.
Yes.
So in our one story, we've already got that covered. Now, what I don't understand is if we already have natural authority of being born and inhabitants, and as we are the reflection of the land, as the land is a reflection of my face, because my face is a reflection of the country.
Mm.
We already got the authority known to this, all through established times. And what I've heard on ABC Wireless, and I heard a man last night expressing his values to a journalist or a reporter, he says to him, but tell me why it's important for you, Minister, for the government to do this action. What's the value? He then started rattling off 10 quality gold points. And he said, yeah, but that's the points, mate. I'm not asking you about the points. I'm asking you, what's your value? He could never answer him.
Sure.
Now, that to me...
Actually, him as the individual outside the political hat.
As you ask me, my big brother.
Mm.
Now, I can give you an answer why. But unfortunately, that man last night on ABC Wireless was unable to. And that's my concern as a young man of the Buluru country.
Yes.
Of the mountainside of Australia, connected with my Uluru country family on the west side.
Mm.
Another interesting thing that was raised through social media is land grab after flood-prone areas, not letting blackfellas back onto country.
Mm.
Even though we used to walk on country, you never took a motor car to get there before, but now you can't walk back there. Like normal, natural.
Yes.
Not allowed to do that no more. That's what's being put through the social media, big brother.
Mm.
So I sort of asked around community, and I'm talking to the elders again, and I say, oh, my old family, did you hear been in this? Yeah, son. Oh, them aunties ring me up, tell me no good, son. They're doing wrong things.
Mm.
So what am I here to hear? These corporate business side of things is very, very keen and eager to get the voice to Parliament from the Uluru statement only, never from anything else ever before, but the Uluru statement he said in the lead up to his voting into Parliament that he would implement that one. Interesting. Now, as a young man of country, turned 46 last year, just if anyone wants to know, born in 1976.
Mm.
I personally have been walking along this story for 40 good years, and I've never really seen, from what my grandfather said, son, I've been fighting for this for 40 years before you were born, son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love it if you could get the change in your 40.
Yeah.
Then my grandfather passed away when I was 19, and I thought, interesting. Anyways, we're walking with a very strong family.
Yes.
And the strong family that I walk with, called my community,
have
always given a son, because it takes a community to raise a child. I'm the child that they raise. And my big brother, my finger on this community pulse at the moment is telling me, what's going on with this real deal, man? But say, I'm seeing this story about corporate all the time. Corporate this, corporate. And elected Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander and Destiny, and it's all going to be beautiful. Well, excuse me, people, we've already got that.
Yeah.
Come on. I said to another senior elder of mine, he was a pastor of the church, I said, uncle, you know, this is what I'm really a bit worried about in the big picture is what I'm hearing from the older ladies.
Mm.
They're telling me, are we signing away our last true actual authority as an original face of the land, as the land is our faith, through the sea?
Mm.
And he said to me, you know what, Trevor? I'm unable to answer that.
Mm.
Which is interesting, because I feel he should be free flowing normally with natural and have better guidance, or if not, take on board something that he may learn from.
Yeah.
He did with a man as a pastor. But he didn't, big brother. He was sort of like stopped in his moment.
Mm.
I made him feel like he should think about that. So today, my Gurunan, Bamanandi of Buluru and Uluru to the Wulbabara, may we be blessed that we keep our home and our same and safe.
Sure.
It's a beautiful home that is so beautiful that others live here. Joyous ingrates with the fire, respect, trust, love. Be honest always. Keep your honour. And from the heart, we always support you.
It's
normal in our home country. But when you be disrespectful, untrusting, unloving, be dishonest when we ask you a question, and you got no honour in what you're doing, I do have to tell you to stop.
Sure.
As Boha.
Mm.
stop because it's not true. And if you keep pushing on me stop, then I will have to push back and tell you to move away. Because that's not fair what you're doing. Disrespect, untrusting, it's unloving, it's dishonest, and there's no honor in it.
It's got to be for the right reasons, hasn't it, my brother?
It says stop. But if you have respect, trust, love, being honest, and keeping your honor, and your hand is out for clean, as we can see a mirror, then that's called normal. On the country of Buluru and Uluru. Normal. So my stance on the voice is this. If it comes to be that we're signing away our entitlements as original people of this homeland, and as Aaron Fazel says in his story of the Straits, we come from headhunters. Well, we are, boys. I'm glad that you made it clear to the rest of the people of this nation where you come from. Because you know what you did, Aaron? You made it perfectly clear that you were not a descendant of this land. We've never had and never will have headhunters born of the earth of Buluru and Uluru. And further to add to this, have you ever seen, Big Brother, being you're a very, very, very well-viewed and noticed and seen and educated man, you are, a monkey story in Australia, a painting of a monkey, or a dancing that we do of monkeys? That's a question to you, my big brother. Have you seen a painting on a cave wall of a monkey?
No, no.
Have you seen Aboriginal people talking about monkeys?
No.
Have you seen Aboriginal people do a monkey dance?
No.
Now, why is this so important? I'll tell you why, Big Brother. Because here, the closest continent that connects to us from a certain place is now New Guinea. Now, New Guinea continent connects to the next place is called Indonesia. Now, when you go to Indonesia, the number one icon or idol that you bear witness to in the airport, told to me by many, 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 many different geographies and tribes, is the Monkey King. And then an elder said to me from Oxford University, he said, Trevor, if there's one thing you would ever take with you when you walk and you become nomadic, that you could remind yourself of where you belong to and nourish your spirit to keep yourself strong, what would be one thing you take with you? I thought about that, and I said, my wife. And he killed himself laughing because he knew that my wife, Olivia, would definitely get me out. Now, the thing is, he said, no, Trevor, it would be your religion because you can carry it without carrying it, Trevor. But it nourishes your spirit to make you strong. Where you belong. So if you come from the people of the Monkey King, then by nature, that would be the only one thing you would bring with you, and you would have the iconic identity and given the dancing language visual of Monkey King if we come from those nations. Because everybody from Asia knows about the Monkey King, Big Brother. Now, I said to him, funny thing is, I watched him on TV called Monkey Maddie. He said, yeah, that's exactly the story, Trevor. But do you still know that story? I said, never heard of it. We got stories of our own here, crazy.
Exactly.
Guriela, Boraji, then come down through the deities. You got himself here, Damari, Guriela. Them two had an argument like them other brothers, you know? We got our own full connection on Buluru and Uluru as one story. And that one story has nourished our spirit, as you said to me from Oxford University lecturer and a man of Professor Hayden's, he was a master of his policy, met him at Dabbalay, told me straight, boy. In 1400s, a man named Grotius wrote the laws of land. Bottom line is, Trevor, you already succeeded Grotius's letter. So game over. Well, my big brother, I'm asking again, my stance on the voice is, why are we doing this again? Because we already have authority as normal.
Yes.
So why have we got the bummers of the Uluru hosting and boasting and videotaping, which is also inclusive of headhunters' dancings on my sacred country of Uluru, Mother, from the Buluru, I say no, stop. That's my sense.
All right, my brother. Beautiful. You know? It'll start the conversation, my brother, 2023.
Well, please, please, family, people of higher knowledge and learned than me, and lesser than me, Yes. We all have a right to say.
Of course.
This has to be clear as a mirror, open.
Mm.
Is it in the 5 points of grace, respect, trust, love, honesty and honour? Or is it in these other 5 points of disrespect, untrust, unloving, dishonesty and no honour?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, the law of the land of Australia is that you must be clear between what is right and wrong to live in Australia. Otherwise, the land, Mama, Uluru, she'll fix you with the cause. You know, they call it the karma, big brother.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It'll come back on you.
She's a lady.
Yep. She's a strong
and
lady,
you
too.
Want that lady to come around good or bad, Trevor? I said, always good.
Mm.
I've had a glimpse of the bad, no good.
No good.
Oh, man.
My brother, I'm going to keep moving. Thank you for the yarn, brother. Hopefully it ignites more conversations in this space.
Yes. And Guri up, Garu, and with the blessing. Guri.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. That's Trevor Pickham having his say regarding voice to Parliament. You can have your say as well on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bull Run here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and taking you right through to 12 noon Queensland time. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live via the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yindinji Country. BB and Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, Emeritus Professor Ross Hommel is a Foundation Professor of Criminology and Criminal Justice, and has conducted extensive research on the prevention of crime, violence and injuries, and the promotion of positive development and well-being for children and young people in social disadvantaged communities. We're going to have a chat with Professor Ross on the line now at the moment. Ross, a very good morning. How are you, Professor?
Trevor, yes, good day.
Thank you for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor?
Brisbane.
Brisbane. All right, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about this space. You've conducted extensive research on the prevention of crime, violence and injuries, and the promotion of positive development and well-being for children and young people in social disadvantaged communities. What have you found, Professor? He giggles.
Love.
Love.
Kids need to be loved.
Yeah, thank you.
It's the first law of human development, and they need the crazy, irrational care of at least one committed adult, preferably supported by one or two or many others.
Mm.
It takes a village. Look, we haven't discovered anything new, except the main thing is we don't do it very well in many communities and many families in this country. And there are ways we can support families and communities to help their kids thrive, particularly in the early years. And we've done a lot of work, including with First Nations communities in Brisbane, in areas where kids often fall off the tracks one way or another, get into trouble, particularly toward the end of primary school. It was called the Pathways to Prevention Project. And what we've learned is that anything that addresses the causes of children's difficult behaviour or lack of skills emotionally or socially is better than exclusion and punishment. But, you know, we have an epidemic of school suspensions and exclusions in this country. We try to punish our way out of the problem of youth crime, which is what I've been talking about a lot over the last few days.
And you're saying punishment is not the answer, Professor?
It's not the answer. It's not even... It makes things worse.
Mm.
I mean, not only does it breach our human rights obligations under the Convention on the Rights of the Child, most of what we do in Queensland and in other parts of Australia, it actually creates less safe communities because it doesn't actually help these kids sort out the issues that are causing them to behave the way they do. And in many First Nations communities, but also more broadly in the community, we have the very big challenge of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, kids whose early development, even in utero, was seriously affected by excessive alcohol. That we're beginning to learn that we can do things about that. We can work alongside families and kids and schools to help these children and young people deal with their emotions, deal with their anger particularly, learn not to lash out, but rather to teach them new skills.
Mm.
Actually, you know, there are good case studies now of such kids getting into employment that may not be what they would have had if they hadn't had the as D initially, but you know, we can do the best for people. And look, the whole aim is to create create the conditions through which all children and young people in this country can thrive, can reach. Well, people talk about reaching their potential. I don't think there is any potential. I think the sky's the limit. I think we want to aim for young people and children forging their own way with all the supports that we often don't provide properly.
Yeah.
Particularly at these key transitions in life, from primary to high school, from high school out into the workforce.
It's good you mentioned school. I mean, we're talking about, you mentioned it takes a community to raise a child. So would the education department should have a say in this? Should there be changes in the curriculum as such?
Totally, yeah. And look, one of the...
instead of Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing you see the same is the curriculum.
Yes, well, look, the curriculum, I'm afraid, and the whole environment of school is irrelevant to, well, lots of boys particularly. You know, I've seen this in my own family. I mean, I'm speaking both from personal experience as well as from my research and from my observation of what's happening elsewhere. Yeah, look, we need to ensure that there are creative forms of alternative education outside of the rigid structures of the Industrial Revolution, which is really how we've organised our schools since the 18th century. Mm. We need to adapt to the needs of individual kids.
Adapt, exactly.
Particularly in the high school years, and I think Chris Sara talks a lot about this sort of stuff. But, in the high school years, if kids are not going to be academic, if they're not interested in the books and the maths and so on, let them learn a trade. And there are schools now that integrate TAFE training with the school curriculum, and this is really good development. So I don't think the whole idea of that all kids are going to go to university is ridiculous.
Exactly.
However, many could go.
Many could
really,
go. Yep.
Really
yep.
Value it. And look at my 30 years at Griffith University. In the setting up the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice years ago, we have had such brilliant students who were the first students ever to reach university, including First Nations kids, and they have, you know, light bulbs have gone off every day, every week that they've been studying, and they've really, I know from the emails and the phone calls I get that the education can be transformative, but it has to be the sort of education that suits the needs of individual kids. So,
well, exactly. Yeah, and timing thing as well. I mean, you could be going to university at the age of 23.
Timing is critical. Now, I am a great proponent of as early in the pathway as possible to work with families and kids. In our Pathways to Prevention project, which began now, 20 years ago now, we worked with four-year-olds for a couple of years in the preschools and their families, of course. We employed a couple of, through our partner Mission Australia, we employed First Nations community workers along with Vietnamese and Pacifica workers to work with their cultural groups. And we introduced, through the specialist teachers, wasn't clever university people going in, it was actually the resources that you mentioned that exist in the education department.
Yes.
The specialist communication teachers came in for a couple of years and... value added, if you like, to the standard preschool curriculum for four-year-olds. And we've now tracked the behaviour and outcomes for quite a few hundred of those kids over the 20-year period. And to cut a long story short, I can say that not only in the short term did their social skills and ability to use language and to understand questions and how to interact in a classroom or even home environment improve, their behaviour improved as raised by a classroom teacher at the end of preschool, and then throughout the primary school years, the behaviour remained better than it would have been otherwise. And that flowed through to fewer of that cohort of kids ending up in the youth justice system.
Yes.
And we've yet to publish that particular...
Yeah, well, with experiences like that, that should be front and centre with the with the education system.
So I think that as soon as we can get that paper published through the scientific journals, I want to take it back to Grace, the Minister, and others in the department. Say, look, this is stuff. Exactly. You supported this.
Exactly.
The Department of Education,
exactly.
The government. They supported this work for years and years.
And here's the outcome, a positive outcome.
A positive outcome, very positive. And, I mean, not everything works for everybody.
Sure.
I can point to the good news.
Well, things don't change if things don't change, Professor.
Sorry?
Things don't change if things don't change.
No, that's right. Unless if we just keep doing what we've always done, which is what we are currently doing,
yes,
on steroids through the youth justice system, we're just going to get worse and worse outcomes. It's
exactly.
Tragic. It breaks my heart. We're in a political death spiral when it comes to ramping up the penalties for tightening up the laws for youth justice. That impacts disproportionately on First Nations families and kids. But more than that, it actually makes the problem worse, because
exactly.
There is nothing worse for young people than ending up in detention.
And building more prisons is not the answer either.
Oh, prisons and detention centres,
yes,
are a very expensive way of making damaged children worse.
Well, that money you can use on individuals in regard to positive mental attitude, empowering, finding their goals and dreams,
exactly.
Yeah, life coaching.
But we need to be very practical about how we do that. We've got to work through communities and schools. I believe very strongly in what's called co-creation and respectful partnerships between the people in the community, the parents and the kids and the young people and the teachers, who have most to gain from improvements, working with them and, in fact, handling control over what happens to those people, as we did in the Pathways to Prevention project.
Yeah.
But being available through the university and through funding and so on, to making available the expert knowledge and resources that, because communities can't do it all on their
sure,
own. If they
exactly.
could, we wouldn't have a problem. So everybody needs help, and particularly in the current economic crisis where so many families and communities are struggling to put food on the table every day. There's increasing homelessness. There's real economic stress out there.
Yes.
And it's hitting the middle class as well as the 20% in the bottom income quartiles. You know, it's a pretty serious situation. In fact,
well, it's becoming a pandemic in itself, isn't it?
It's a pandemic that has caused an upsurge in crime, not just youth crime, but actually a lot of break and enters that are happening because, basically for these economic reasons, because we've had this sudden increase in inflation and the cost of living has gone through the roof and people are struggling. We know that because they're approaching charities for food and
exactly. Well, the numbers just came out here in Cairns, North Queensland. 50,000 crimes were committed in the last 12 months.
Yeah, well, for a city of how many, 100,000, that's a lot.
150,000, exactly.
Yeah, no, so it's a serious problem. And a lot of that crime is committed by young offenders, and it's the 10% of offenders who start young, at age 10 or even younger, and who are out with their older siblings or their mates on the streets at night unsupervised. You know, I think you know the problem well. There are remedies that many of us in the academic, but also in the, you know, more broadly in the community, are trying to persuade the government, both sides of politics actually, to adopt, so that we can have a bipartisan solution to what needs to happen. And we need to do things differently, but we'll never get out of the political death spiral that we're in now if we don't. If somebody, at least one person in a position of power on both sides of politics, are prepared to work together
exactly.
in a bipartisan way, ideally through a justice reform office that the government should establish, which was recommended by the Queensland Productivity Commission in 2019. That should be implemented, and it's got to be totally bipartisan.
Well, 2019, the recommendations there, and here we are, 2023.
Supervising these new approaches, the experiments, the evaluations of these new approaches that we know from our, you know, international research evidence are most likely to work, particularly when you put the community front and centre, so you allow community partnerships, community coalitions to actually run these programs, community-led initiatives, where everybody involved in the local community agree on what we're, I mean, I know it's hard to achieve, people will always argue, But that's where the research evidence can come in and be a circuit breaker. We say, look, yeah, you can go and have your wilderness program, take them out on country. That's all very well. But the evidence shows that if you don't also combine that with interventions that, I hate that word, but, you know, programs which help these kids to deal with their self-regulation, self-control issues with respect to their emotions, anger, the way they treat other people, all the sorts of things that I'm referring to.
All aspects of life.
Fully socialised, they need to be taught the skills to get on with other people and to forge their own pathway, as I mentioned.
For their own goals and dreams.
In the best possible way. And we provide, we the community, we the Australian society should be organised to provide all the support that those young people need.
Yes.
So that we the whole country will be better off if we do this, and we'll save scrillions in the process.
Exactly. Well, that's an investment, isn't it?
So that's the end of my speech.
Yeah. Now, thank you very much, Professor.
Hello.
Yeah, I think I lost you. That's Professor Ross Hummel, who's a foundation professor of criminology and criminal justice, and he's conducted extensive research for the prevention of crime, violence and injuries and the promotion of positive development and well-being for children and young people in socially disadvantaged communities. Just lost him in the end there, but you're talking about co-creation, team effort, take a community, raise a child, but all aspects, you know, and building more prisons is not the answer. The curriculum probably needs to be changed big time. And not all students are destined for university. All students can be, but the passion is not there, or the goal or the dream is not there, you know. If they want to be get into becoming a mechanic or what have you, there should be other avenues outside the university strategy. Have you saying, Yana Strong? Look, 11 minutes left on the program here on National Talk Black. And like I said, welcome back to the program, 2023, second program for the year. Good to be back in the hot seat. National Talk Black, a one-hour program. It is your program and a time for Yarnings, all topics. And all people's black and white. Have you saying, Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly, Mob.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
God is calling you, Aboriginal. Aboriginal man, God's calling you.
Yeah, Aboriginal man, that's Mercy Albert here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up with Selwyn. Selwyn, good morning. How are you?
Good, brother. Yeah, but Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year.
I put a Facebook, I posted it. It was a Long Ranger and Tonto, and it was Plymouth Abbey. White man speak with forked tongue. And the other one, the cartoon that went with it, it got a Native American and traditional dress. And the lawyer beyond the desk, and the lawyer reckons, of course I speak with forked tongue. I'm a lawyer. That's what reminded me of this voice.
Voice of Parliament? Forked tongue, yes.
This voice in Parliament. A few years back, we had a four-hour book black. And I think... fair enough to say, well, we should get this right first. Mm. Let's have a voice that's national, probably national. And they're just saying that, they're deadly, deadly choices. And people up at the remote place, they can't make those choices because they haven't got much choices to choose from. But with this radio, they go to all of the remote places with national radio, not just BBM.
Mm.
Because so far, what position you offer about this voice? There are two parties that the people for the voice and the decent price. And it's good listening to Brother Trevor there. There are other voices
yes,
in the world
exactly,
that don't agree, but they don't agree with the decent price either. And we're not hearing those voices. And this will be a good reflection of having one voice is Blackfella Radio, brother.
Mm.
And on that other blog, the education follow, they're talking. I never hear him. I think only once I heard him talk about parents. And I think back to that initial conference of chief protectors way back when their idea was to get the outcast kids and take them away and get them educated and bring them up like white people and even some marry them off with white people. And that, to me, is a euphemism to educate the kids, to keep the others in place and make sure they stay in place. And, with parenting now, I think, like for myself as a black male brother, I feel like you're there for it, we're so stigmatized now that black fellow organizing that get funded around here, we're so stigmatized that we're kneecapped, we can't sort of say anything. If we raise our voice, we're anchor man. If we don't, we're not interested in our kids.
Exactly. Damn if we do, damn if we don't.
I mean, I'm good, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll say, well, go ahead and let you do what you do. Because if we try and use those good fancy words like having boundaries and discipline and being trim, they call it, I feel like swearing again, they call it bloody coercive control, brother. We can't sort of say nothing.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, brother. Okay, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. Beautiful. That's Selwyn there, having his say. And first call for this year, 2023. Thank you very much, Selwyn. Thank you, Trevor Packham, as well. And also Emma Professor Ross Hummel, Foundation Professor of Criminology and Criminal Justice, Griffith University. And also Stella DeCosse, IBA Director of Community and Customer Experience and a Boost for Economic Empowerment of First Nation Women. There are grants available, you mob. Trinity Trevor signing off for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number 1-800-422-416. But 24/7 you can have your say or give us your thoughts, opinions or questions. 0457140050. Text that number. And don't forget our Facebook page on BBM 987 FM. But thank you for your company, mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We've got the news coming up very soon with Nurse. And a big shout out to Nurse. Thank you very much for allowing us to go across the airways. Too deadly.